Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
How's it going, everyone? This is TJ Martinell at tjmartinell.com. Welcome to the new Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. As the new title branding for the podcast, I'm coming to you as usual from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, Washington State. The date is April 24th, 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve. And this is the... Again, I don't know how to title this podcast. I know what I'm going to talk about. I just don't have a title for it. We will figure it out together by the time we're done with this podcast. Because I'm going to be talking about this concept I've referenced before in another podcast about life energy. And it sounds like I just realized, you know, it sounds like some sort of acupuncture discussion, you know, or some sort of like alternative medicine or something like that. And that's not really what I'm talking about. This is not it's not a pseudoscience. It's just an observation, really. It's me noticing things because I have self-awareness. Or at least that's the rumor. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Have you ever been in a room or you're at a party, you're at a social gathering, and whatever it is, you can project whatever you want, a wedding, whatever. And there's somebody who walks into the room and you can feel or sense a quiet intensity about them. Where that, or they just have, there's something that like it draws other people toward them. They have some sort of magnetic effect, like a gravitational pull. People want to be around them. They've got that. They just have, you feel rejuvenated just being around them. And they seem to just be, have they don't have to be a high intense person. I'm not talking about where they're bouncing off walls like they just took a bunch of methamphetamines. I'm talking about where they just have a inexhaustible energy and an enthusiasm. Enthusiasms. If you haven't seen The Untouchables, you better do it now. And so when you talk to them, you walk away feeling like you ate some sort of like energy bar that's now powering you up. Like you feel your morale's boosted, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Or people, and some people do it in a different way. They project, not project in like a psychological sense. They emanate a sign of like strength in what they do. And then there's people who radiate that life energy and in a very, I'd say there's the masculine way of doing it and the feminine way of doing it. The man typically does it in a way where he's projecting strength and assertiveness, and he doesn't even have to be doing anything. He's just staying there. He's got his posture. He's got that look in his eye, the way that he talks, the what he talks about, you know, just the aura. And then let's say there's a girl. I'll give an example of this is, you know, I remember watching Casablanca in a theater, the way God intended. And I was probably in my mid-20s. They were doing some sort of local special. You know, we're going to show all of Bogey's films. And I was in there, we're watching Casablanca. And then here walks on screen, Ingrid Bergman walks onto the screen. You know, she enters this room. And I remember there was these teenagers behind me with their parents. Their parents probably dragged them in. And one of the kids just goes, whoa. Because I highly doubt that young man has ever seen a woman like Ingrid Bergman. Even though Aaron Clary thinks that she's ugly because he's he has alternative taste, we'll put it that way. And just the way that she, you know, she sits down, she speaks, it's all like very graceful, you know, the same thing with, frankly, Grace Kelly, if you've seen To Catch a Thief. where they can just kind of stand there, or just they, there's something about their personalities and who they are that you, it's like you feel like there's some sort of force, invisible force going on. And also this life energy. I don't have another word for it, so bear with me. It sounds like a very, oh guys, we have our life energy and we're one with Mother Nature and the Earth we belong to. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Not what I'm talking about at all. And there's different ways that men and women can convey this. You have some women who are just very, they've got a lot of energy, they're very intense, but it's not like, this is another thing about it. They send out energy that other people can feed off of, but they don't take. Like I was saying, you feel rejuvenated just being around them. There are people who, and then there's other people who convey it in a very, not passive, but just very subtle way. Like, I'll give an example. Let's say you're going over to someone's house and you just, when you're around them and you're at their house, you feel relaxed. You know, I was always having this concept. I was having this discussion about what is home? Like, define home. Because there's a house that you live in, but there's also home. You know, that was that famous poem. I think Robert Louis Stevenson wrote it. Sailor is the home is a sea, or something like that. But the idea is that the sailor's home is the sea. Also that Brandy song. My life. I'm not going to sing it. Love of My Life. The Lady is the Sea was in that movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm dropping a lot of films in this podcast, so you're just going to have to deal with it. So you're going into a place where you feel like that's where you belong. That's kind of my concept of home. But home isn't, you know, it's not a physical place necessarily. Some people see it that way, like, you know, in the Hobbit films, you know, that's what home was, a specific place. But I would say also home is where you get that feeling from someone. Where you go home and you go to a place and you don't have to worry about anything. You're totally relaxed. All is well with the world. At least the world that you live in at that moment. Not the world outside, but there's the outside and then there's home. There's the outside world and then there's home. And a person can create that sort of environment just by their presence. I'm not saying that house decor, you know, is a little bit of clutter around. It kind of feels like it's been lived in, that sort of thing. As opposed to it feeling like it's a showroom. Or it's been set up for people to look at, you know, you're selling the house and it looks like something the Stepford Wives wouldn't do. No personality, no meaningful paintings on the wall that just, you know, convey whose house is, like, who lives here. Yeah, if you can walk through a house, this is a side thing, but I'll just throw it out there because I can. It's my podcast. I do whatever I want. If you go through someone's house and you have no idea and you cannot tell anything about them, there's a problem. So just throwing it out there, guys. Okay, so we're talking about this life energy thing. Now, on the flip side, I know most of you are going to say, yes, I know exactly who you're talking about. The guy and gals who are energy vampires, they suck the life out of you. Where you're dealing with them, and they may not even be, this is where people get really hung up, so I want you to think about this for a second. Some of the biggest energy vampires are often the most passive, the most emasculated, the most effeminate. Because they're not even like Eeyore. But we're trying to get them to do anything and have any enthusiasm or have any excitement about anything is just like, you know, like imagine having this as a supervisor at work where you're trying to get a project done on time and you're trying to talk to them about it. And they're just by their passive avoidance and just cowardice, they will not have the conversation you're trying to have. And no, this is not an actual example. I'm a, I'm my own made man. I'm a businessman. I run my own business now. So no, this is not an example from my life. But I've heard horror stories from other people. This is why I'll never go back to corporate America. They're like, man, I'm trying to work with the supervisor and he's not, he just won't. And I'm like, man, and you can tell it's just this conversation that this man had with his supervisor just exhausted him. He's like, every time I walk away from him, I just feel totally just wiped out. And that's where I really started to think about this and this idea, because I don't think anybody's ever, not this is not a brag or whatever you want to say, I've never had anybody tell me that it's exhausting to be around me. Because I'm the type of guy that people can pretty much, that's another thing is, I think that that's part of it is, I try very hard to be somebody that someone could come up to me, as long as they're being relatively respectful, they say, this bothers me, something you're doing bothers me, this you said bothered me, whatever it is. It's like, oh, okay, well, thanks for letting me know and won't do it anymore. Or, I mean, depending on what they're saying, like, you know, you going to the gym all the time bothers me. I was like, well, it sounds like a personal problem. Maybe you should hit the gym more often. Stuff like that. But I think what's exhausting is where you feel like you can't directly speak to them because they won't engage in an honest, direct conversation with you. They will do anything other than just have the conversation and get... So something that should take 5 seconds to get resolved, you spend 2 hours and nothing. You know what it is? It's an emotional World War I trench-style warfare where you both exhaust each other, and when you walk away, nothing's been gained. Where you sit there and you argue, and they're just not coming out of their trenches. They are not going to make any... They're not going to do anything. And you've just spent all this time and all this energy, and they really haven't done anything because they don't have to do anything. Let's say, like, you're proposing to do some sort of like cool thing, like, you know, go on a road trip. Let's say you're in your early 20s and you're like, you're hanging out with somebody and you're chatting and your buddy along, and you're like, man, we should totally grab this. There's this old van for sale. You know, it runs fine, but it's not looking that great. We should totally grab it, you know, pull our money together, you know, and somebody comes up with a plan and just says, it would be really fun to just go travel around these different states and just explore the country, and everybody gets excited. Oh yeah, man, that'd be cool. And then the one guy goes, well, I mean, who's actually going to own the car? And how about the insurance? And what if I'm driving and you're driving and I own the car? You know, that guy's just like, ugh. You know, he starts getting into the technical details. And it's not so much that he's talking about these details because they are important, but how is he doing it? Is he saying, yeah, I love the idea, let's just make sure we're not going to... And he says that in a funny way. Let's just make sure we're not shooting ourselves in the foot. As opposed to, here's a guy who clearly, to anyone who's got an IQ above 5, is trying to say no, but he's doing it in an effeminate manner. He can't just say, as I really don't want to go on a road trip. Instead, he's trying to suck the enthusiasm out of the other people so that they won't want to do it, but they'll think that they're making the decision, not him. He's too effeminate to just say, guys, I don't want to go on this road trip. Because then they get to decide, oh, but we want to go, and then he gets excluded. Instead, he wants to convince everyone else by just destroying any joy they might have about this cool idea. Because there really are people out there who, if they were a TV, they have no... actually, I was going to use that for another analogy. But yeah, there are people who have no input. If they were a TV, if they were a flat screen TV, they would have no input, just output. But there's also some people, they don't... And I think that this might have a little bit to do with introverts versus extroverts. But I think it's not quite that clear cut. But there are people who are just incapable of creating their own life energy, and they have to get it from other people. They are only taker, and they don't give. They only take. They do not give. And that's the thing that a lot of people who are high emotion... You know what? I use the word life energy. I meant emotional energy. That's what I meant. I meant emotional energy, not life energy. I was reading something about some random alternative medicine. That's probably why I thought of it. I can't even remember how to pronounce the name. It was some martial art type thing. I don't know. But there are people who just don't have a lot of emotional energy, and all they want to do is basically you know what it is? There are people out there who are emotional black holes. They draw people towards them who are too weak to resist, and they just suck the life out of them. Because a black hole is something that's so powerful, light cannot escape a black hole. Light is bent by the gravitational pull of a black hole. So there are people out there who are emotional black holes. There are men who just suck the life out of other people. And they are constantly pulling anyone towards them that they can feed off of. And so this is the thing to keep in mind for people who are high emotional energy, is you got to be careful with who you give that. You got to be careful with who you give that energy to. Because there are people out there who see it and they want to take it, and they're parasitical. They don't reciprocate at all. And they see it as a one-way relationship where they're there to get something out of you and they're not offering anything in return. And it's not like there's some people who receive emotional energy and they get rejuvenated by it and it's a positive interaction. But then there's people who do it in a toxic way where they're draining you and they're draining your energy. It keeps them going the same way, you know, a heroin addict getting his fix keeps him going. And if there was one life lesson or, you know, if I could go back and, you know, again, if I could get into the DeLorean that goes 88 miles per hour with some plutonium and a flux capacitor, and I could go back to when I was in my early 20s, one piece of advice I would have given myself is be careful about where you put your energy. Because there are some people who will take your energy and the effort that you put into stuff, and they will use it to build and produce and expand and grow something. Other people will just take it and throw it in the trash. They'll waste it. They'll squander it. They'll destroy it because they can't create it themselves and they don't have that vitality in life. And so them seeing you have it makes them feel bad about themselves. And rather than change who they are, they just want to take it out on you. And so, once more, don't confuse an intense person with a person that's got a lot of emotional energy. Like, how do you feel around this person? That's an important question to ask when you're around somebody. Is like, how do you feel? Because human relationships aren't always necessarily logical in nature. They're more of like, how do you feel when you're around this person? And I have no idea what the root of it is. Maybe it's a lot of just the subconscious or our natural instinctive ability to read people. But there's definitely ways in which we can just tell, yes, I kind of have a vibe of what I have a good notion of what kind of person this dude is. And especially, I'd say also, like, confusing high intensity people with high emotional energy, if they're conflict driven or they are just intensely disagreeable, whatever you want to, how to put that, those people can be intense and they can also drain you. And unfortunately, it seems like in our society today, the way to advance, the way to get ahead in so many different structural organizations is to be low energy. Low emotional energy, I'll put it that way. Where you aren't giving, you're taking. I mean, look at who our president is. Like, this is the, you know, and people, well, DJ, he's not the real president. Okay, I got you. Yeah, we all know what happened in 2020. The point is, this is the quote unquote leader of the United States of America. It's not just an aging old dude. That's a separate problem. It's that he's like, does anybody spend time around this guy feeling rejuvenated? Does anybody feel inspired? Because Ronald Reagan was an old guy too. And people can argue about his politics and say how he wasn't as great as we kind of perceive him to be. That's all a legitimate discussion. But can you imagine being in a room with him and, let's say, add in Donald Trump? Like, and people can argue, well, you know, he's a, you know, negative guy and all that stuff. I don't think that that's how other people feel. Because look at, like, Trump's rally. I hate bringing him into this stuff because I feel like he doesn't need any more attention. Because he's got his problems. But notice when he speaks, you know, it's, I think, the same thing at the time with Barack Obama. Because when he was running for president, the enthusiasm that I never understood it, have no idea what it was. And my guess is people were projecting onto him. They had this vision of something. And because he was so vague about it, because his whole campaign was hope and change. And I would ask people, hope and change in what? And most people would tell me it was this idea that America was going to become this specific place. And, you know, well, he would speak and people were just so inspired. They were just there was something, just people were genuinely excited. And the problem is that I think this is an example of where people mistook. They mistook what kind of energy a person was giving off. Because I was not ever emotionally impacted by anything Obama said. And this is not having anything to do with politics. I mean, this is kind of the interesting thing about it. I'm thinking about, you know, great leaders in history. And when I say great, I mean people who were part of important historical events. You know, what was it like? I was actually just reading this book, Sky of Stone by Homer Hickam. It was a coal miner's superintendent son. And he was describing how he ended up working in Huntsville, Alabama, which is where his hero, Wernher von Braun, worked. And he said that, for people who don't know, Wernher von Braun and Walt Disney were in, did some partnerships together of some kind. And he was recalling how people who worked with both of them said that when those two were in a room together, it was like, it was electrifying was the word they would describe it as. So that's kind of what I'm saying. And Walt Disney, I've read a couple of his biographies. He had some quirks, and, you know, I'm not sure if I would necessarily have gotten along with him as well in his workplace environment. But the guy definitely had an emotional energy that people liked. Now, Steve Jobs, I mean, at the same time, it can be a mixed bag. Like Howard Hughes, I'm pretty sure it was difficult to work with him. And it was probably difficult, and I was watching some stuff about Steve Jobs where, I mean, these guys in a lot of ways had visions, but their emotional energy was probably what got in the way of things. I think the same thing with Herb Brooks, the guy who was the coach of the U.S. hockey team, 1980 Olympic hockey team. I was watching the movie Miracle about him and was reading some stuff. You know, I think what he was doing, he was walking a very fine line Because on one hand, he said, I'm going to be your coach. I'm not going to be your friend. So he kept a very, like, I'd say separated emotional distance from the players. And he was also, I think, really hard on them. But at the same time, he was having these college kids who were coming from rival schools and really did not like each other. And so what he was doing was trying to make them all be united in their, I kind of, I'd say, their quasi-hatred of him. Just because the way he pushed them. I think that the emotional energy he gave off was a father toward a reproachful father towards a kid, where he feels like this is the way he's got to do it in order for something to happen. Probably kind of the same thing with Patton, you know. I'm pretty sure people would be very inspired listening to Patton, even though he had a very high-pitched voice in real life. He was not George C. Scott. But, you know, I think that that's where, again, people get hung up on this. Someone can have high emotional energy and make you feel rejuvenated. That doesn't mean they're necessarily being nice to you. That doesn't mean they're being kind or they're being positive in a sense of like, the relationship is different. You know, here's another example I was thinking of. I would not highly, I just cannot recommend the movie Wolf of Wall Street because it's just too, it's more than I would really can handle watching. There's just too much nonsense in it. But the opening part of that movie is actually kind of goes back to what I'm talking about, where notice you can watch it, I think, online and on the YouTubes. The first supervisor that Jordan Belfont is working with is a classic example of somebody who sucks your energy out of you. He's like, you know, you're worthless and you're going to be dialing 800 times a day and you will not look up from your desk. And I made $500,000 last year. It's like, oh my God, like somebody stabbed me. If that was my first day on the job, I'd walk. And then of course, Matthew McConaughey's character comes over. He's the one who's making $1 million a year. And he's like, man, did you pitch a stock in your job interview? I love it. Let's have lunch at like 1 o'clock. And then he starts buying him drinks. Like that is a guy I would make 800 phone calls for. You know, and then he's giving him all this advice and he's saying, all this, he's basically just being very positive about the job. And, you know, then he's in the middle of selling a stock and he's like, hurry, you know, put it into the little vacuum tube to transport the sale of the, or purchase of the stock. Like he's conveying this excitement about their job as opposed to saying, you know, you're going to do this and it's awful. It's just like, man, who would want to work for you? I hear people talk about working with these types of people. And I'm like, man, I don't know how you do it. I mean, no wonder people go, then they have to go do their hour-long commute back home into the suburbs. So that's kind of the takeaways, just the observation, when you get a bunch of high emotional energy people who are very driven, they can get stuff done. You know, very decisive people where they say, hey, we should do this. That'd be totally cool. Let's do it. And then it gets done. You know, you got to keep away, you got to keep out the emotional vampires, the people who suck the life out of you. And basically they're just to make sure you don't go anywhere in life or do anything that they're not doing because they're not doing anything. And one of the ways they'll do that is by either like trying to just cause indecisiveness in you, uncertainty, a lack of confidence. Here's all these things that could go wrong. And, you know, man, don't be that guy who's in his 60s or 70s who wished he had done something and hadn't because he had some naysayer that he listened to or had somebody suck his energy out of him or enthusiasm or excitement about something. You know, you got to keep those people away or at bay. All right, I think that's all we got to say for this. That's all I got to say about this topic. I'm not going to even tell you where to go to my website. You know where it is. You'll figure it out. You're a smart listener. So thank you for listening to this episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.